You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, overnight it has been revealed what the most annoying habit is that kind of other people do. You know, these kind of things that kind of really grind your gears.
Yeah, misophonia is a condition. Have you heard of that?
What, no, what's misophonia?
Misophonia is when you get annoyed by things like loud chewing, any kind of odd repetitive sounds. That's the one that always reminds me, like people that eat or with their mouth open or chewing gum, that kind of thing.
That is an annoying one. So Simo, how they worked out what is the most annoying habit was they created a short list of 16 habits that really get on people's nerves.
Okay.
And kind of put them to an online poll.
Oh.
And Simo, 16 different items in the shortlist. The winning one had like 64% of the vote, so over half.
I'm more interested in how many of these I actually do.
Well, do you want to go through them?
Because what, is maybe tapping on a desk, is that in there?
We've got all 16. We'll go through it. So this is the shortlist.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, I'm assuming that this is something that probably more guys do than girls. Going to the toilet on the seat.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I can't imagine girls doing that. Finishing someone's sentence is also on the shortlist. Leaving the lid off the toothpaste.
Really?
Double dipping. Not indicating when driving. Cracking your knuckles.
That's so funny. The idea that double dipping and not indicating are the same.
I know, yeah.
They're even remotely similar.
Cracking your knuckles. Chewing with your mouth open, which is the one that you said.
Yep.
Spitting. I can't stand that. I hate when you're watching like football or something and the players just spit on it. It's just disgusting. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. Slurping when you drink tea. Leaving wet towels on the bed. Not replacing the toilet roll. Picking your nose. Using your phone mid-conversation with someone. Leaving crumbs on the bed or drinking directly from the carton / bottle.
Yeah, I can definitely get all those. The wet towels on the bed, how's that coming about?
Yeah, well, that one caught my attention as well. Maybe we're speaking on behalf of guys.
Yeah, what the?
And we don't know. Is that bad?
Well, no, I don't do it. It seems
I know,
odd.
I don't do it either.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because the towel wouldn't dry?
Yeah. No, it'd be because you'd end up with a damp bed. Nothing worse than a damp bed, unless it's a water bed.
Exactly.
Well, technically that would be better, but that one caught my attention. It's not something that I typically do.
Mm. Well, Simon, how many of them do you do off the top of your head, roughly?
The chewing gum, I used to run into trouble with that, but I've learned to close my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty much on the straight and narrow in comparison. Right. Double dipping is horrendous. Don't do that.
Mm.
Most of that, I've got a clean bill of health when it comes to those annoying habits.
Oh, there you go. That's good. Do you want to have a guess which one of those? So one of those got 64% of the vote. 64% of people said, you know what, this is the most annoying thing ever. And that is the most annoying habit that other people did. And it was one of those on that shortlist.
Well, the most common would have to be someone whipping out the phone when you're talking to them. That's like an epidemic by those other standards. The amount of times that people will do that to you happens all the time.
You seem to have a lot of habit with this. Maybe you need more interesting conversation to stop people getting bored.
Righto, Jordan, righto. So which one was the lead?
Well, do you want to have a guess or should I just tell you?
No, I'm not sure. I don't think it's the phone one. That one would be the...
It's not the phone one.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
Which one? I'm interested.
Well, Simo, you actually hit on it right at the start without even realising it.
Oh, really?
Chewing with your mouth open.
Yeah, it's a pretty common one.
That is the most annoying habit and I completely understand. That is so horrible and disgusting.
Yeah, you've got to give those people's gobstoppers because they can't crunch those.
No, you've got to give those people masks. Like, they're not wearing it for corona. They're just wearing it because we don't want to see what's inside your flipping mouth.
Simo and Jordan.
You are a man with no pets, no animal interests whatsoever.
Yeah, pretty much, Simo. We've talked about on the show that pets are not my cup of tea.
But yeah, animals in general, give them a wide berth. If you saw a horse going down the street, cross the road.
I would maybe take an Instagram and then cross the road.
You are terrible.
Well, it's not often you see horses just trotting down the street, is it? No. I mean, when was the last time you saw a horse just doing a majestic trot down the street?
I'm just glad you're keeping people informed. That's what you do.
That's what I do.
So I bring to you now the story of Baz the Ram.
Okay.
Now, he's a 7-year-old ram.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he got rescued 3 years ago, but he's very, very dedicated to procreation, is Baz.
Oh, okay.
So he's hit the news here in Australia. He's from just outside Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently he was causing himself a bit of an issue because he had arthritis in three out of his four legs.
That would be bad.
But unfortunately couldn't be kept anywhere near a female sheep. A sheep.
Why, Simo? Please explain.
Because unfortunately, we're talking like urges for him, the ram, are at levels, they're at like the Hulk levels in comparison to all other rams.
Where'd you say this ram's from? Queensland, right?
Correct.
Yeah, sounds about right for Queenslanders.
Quite a horny ram, Baz.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it.
Unfortunately, the reason he's hit the headlines is because his horniness has become a health issue.
I love that this is on the ABC News website. Some journalist at the ABC has had to go and report on a ram with a high sex drive.
It's so bad, right? The levels of which he could get to, so bad, it's causing him a massive health issue where apparently they thought about temporarily separating him from the ewes in order to give his shoulders a rest and to kind of like, you know, maybe give him a bit of a break.
Yeah, I mean, you like take a break. What's his name again?
Baz.
Baz.
Yeah.
Just calm down, Baz. Just have some orange juice and just relax.
Great. Have some vitamin C.
Yeah.
Just, you're going to need, and some protein. You're going to need it.
Just can we send Baz on holiday? He can go to the beach and just relax on a beach. Just make sure he's the only one on the beach and there's not other rams.
It's not other rams. Ewes were the problem.
Not other ewes, yeah.
So they temporarily separated Baz. However, his owner said he started losing weight and he got kind of depressed. He was not the same Baz. So they decided, all right, we'll just let him back in.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, apparently, they then took him to the vet to find out that there's no, particularly with Baz, there's no pain threshold for him when he's feeling it, when he's in a mood, right? And he's got arthritis in his legs. He can't actually do it without hurting himself, but he can't stop himself.
Right, Baz is now in a bit of a conundrum.
Yeah. Yep. What do you do?
Oh, are you asking me?
Yeah, what do
you
do?
I have no idea. Why would I know how to deal with a horny ram, Simo? There's what, 7 billion people on this earth. Yep. You have come to the last person that you should ask. And I'm including like Arnold Schwarzenegger on that list. He would have more idea of what to do with a horny ram than me.
So the vet has been quoted as saying he could probably have 2 broken legs and still be trying.
Okay.
That's kind of the level of Baz's interest in that particular activity.
Why are the 2 broken legs? All of a sudden, 3 and priorities change.
Yeah, that's it. So literally broken. Like they're saying, like, even if...
No. Like, I get that. Like, literally, if his two of his legs were broken, he'd still be obsessed with the female in his life at that present time.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden, if a third one should happen to, and I hope this doesn't happen, but accidentally snap, all of a sudden Baz is like, oh, hold on a second, just going to see to this other issue that I'm having.
Well, they've decided that the way they're going to deal with it, he's had to have the snip done, Jordan.
Oh, I see.
So I just figure we'd just take a moment for Baz.
Really? Is that what we're doing on the show?
That's what we're here to do.
Taking a minute of silence for a ram's testicles.
Why not?
Well, I mean, I can think of several reasons.
They're pretty important to Baz, clearly.
I'm not denying that, but they're not important to me. I couldn't give a stuff about this horny ram. I hate to break it to you, but okay.
Fine.
I can see that you're...
The disrespect.
Okay, I apologize. I've overstepped the line. I can see that you are very concerned about Baz and his horniness.
All right, yep.
So, yes, so should we just do a moment silence? Yeah. Good, moving on.
Thank you for that, Jordan. Thank you for the respect. He's now settled. He's been had his operation, and he's now spending his time in an air-conditioned room with Netflix, apparently.
Is he actually?
Yep. So
that's so like me.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, for various reasons, which for the purpose of this we don't need to go into, last night I was eating a fried egg sandwich in my car.
Fried egg?
Yeah.
Sandwich. Was there anything else in there?
There was a sauce called barbecue.
Is there any meat?
No.
Oh.
No, it was just a Friday. I got it from a takeaway place.
Okay, cool.
Just on my way home and just chewing down on a fried egg sandwich.
Yeah, right. I'm not familiar with that as an order.
You're not familiar with having a fried egg sandwich?
No, I tend to get meat involved.
I mean, I tend to as well, but it was kind of, you know, light and I didn't want it anyway. Various reasons, it was just a fried egg sandwich.
Okay.
And it was a delicious fried egg sandwich, may I say.
All right.
There were two fried eggs in the sandwich in question.
Right.
Now, as much as fried eggs are delicious, they are also very slippery. Hence, because of all the oil and all that sort of stuff.
Well, yeah, it depends how you cook it, but yeah. I'll agree.
Well, it was fried, so, yeah. And now, unfortunately, because of the slippiness...
Well, it depends. I do sunny side down when I fry an egg. Mm. So are you sunny side up only? Is that how they do them?
No, I like to mix it up.
Right.
Well, but on this occasion, they were sunny side down.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Both sides?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool, cool.
However, Simo, as I said, the fried eggs, they do tend to be quite slippery, and there was two of them in the sandwich. As I went to take my, I'm going to say it was the second bite of the sandwich in question, one of the fried eggs that hadn't yet been consumed was on the other side of the sandwich. It slipped out.
Yeah, I had a similar issue yesterday. Yeah, go.
Now, Simo, you know what it's like. If ever you're eating something in your car and it happens to fall, it always goes into that gap.
Oh, the gap. I'm familiar with the gap.
The gap between it was the seat and like the center console where like the handbrake is. It's only like, it's barely a centimetre, but everything seems, it's like that gap's got its own gravitational pull for food that has fallen.
It's a mysterious place. If a Bond supervillain set up his base in there, Bond would never find it.
Yeah, Bond would look at it and go, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. Yeah,
the world's over.
Yeah, the world's over. Oh, well. Roll credits.
That's it. We're done here.
But Simo, it was like this egg kind of... It just disappeared, because when I got home, I kind of got out and I'm like, oh, I'll have to get that out, otherwise it'll start smelling.
Yeah.
And I kind of had a look underneath the seat, like with the torch and all that sort of stuff, and I couldn't see it.
Okay, it didn't disappear, Jordan. It's there somewhere.
Well, I mean, you say that, and I assume that as well.
Yeah.
But dead set for about 5-10 minutes, I was looking for it. Like, I had the torch out, I was underneath the seat. I, like, has it somehow slid all the way to underneath the pedals of the car? So I kind of had a look around there, and I couldn't... It's just vanished.
Do you know what the alternative is of it? You know, it's either there or there's two options. Well, yeah. Either someone or something is living in your car. That is the other option.
Has been so desperate for food for months that it's seen a fried egg fall on the floor and without even a second to think about it has just stolen it.
Like a coiled viper.
Yes.
Struck. So that would be my issue, potentially. Like, you know, obviously there's been issues with snakes being in cars, not to freak you out, but your car is also very clean, typically.
Yeah, well, it was before you got into it.
Yeah, but I haven't been in it.
Banned.
I'm not living in your car.
Are you? Do you have a spare key?
That's why I...
Turn out your pockets.
That's why I had to confirm whether or not it was fried both sides. Because No, I'm not living in your car. But I did have a similar issue with food. You know when you drop food, how terrifying it is? Because I had porridge. Porridge? Yesterday, you call them oats? What do you call it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I call porridge and oats.
Yeah, on the keyboard right here at work on the computer keyboard. Just gone. Just all over the keyboard. Oof. And you pause for a moment of horror right when it's happening in front of you. It's terrible.
But fortunately, the person living underneath your desk was thrilled. Oh, yes, lunchtime.
Lots of people.
Come out, Bittles. It's all yours.
Yeah, they catch up with the guy that's living in your car about, you know.
I know. That's just,
about 11 o'clock.
These two people on the radio, they're just spilling food everywhere.
Simo and Jordan.
And did you catch the... Well, you didn't catch the COVID-19, Jordan. You're clean.
Yes.
But...
Which is good.
Well, plenty of discussion this morning. Obviously, Victoria staying on alert.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard it in the news this morning. Some during the... what do they call it? When you're active...
What do you mean?
With COVID-19. What do they call it when you're...
You're active with COVID-19?
Contagious.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. 8 hours they spent in the airport.
Oh, like someone did...
Yeah,
spent,
it was,
oh, wow,
they didn't
okay.
know. They were contagious. 8 hours in the airport. It's like, oh, it's a kind of a worst-case scenario. So we'll see where the chips land. But I'm happy to say that the world's second oldest person has recovered from COVID-19 in time to celebrate her 117th birthday.
Oh, that's good news.
Sister Andre, she's a French nun born in 1904.
Wow.
That's 3 years after Australia became a nation.
Was it?
1901.
Okay, my Australian history is lacking, but I'll take your word for that.
Oh, what? When did you think it happened?
1788?
No, when Federation of Australia.
Oh, okay, Federation.
Yeah,
okay,
1901.
Okay.
So before then, it's all separate states. But,
okay.
Yeah. So,
well done, Australia. We've outlived a nun.
Yeah, so we have. She self-isolated. for several weeks, didn't experience any symptoms of the virus, but tested positive and has now recovered, and she's going to celebrate her 117th birthday in style.
By eating a bat?
No, I think maybe a cup of tea. I don't think she'll get too crazy. She's lived a long life.
Well, I mean, that's true, yeah.
Mm.
But no, I mean, it's...
She might sing a bit. That's what nuns do, don't they?
I mean, I think everyone does that.
That's true.
That's not just specific to nuns.
But she might sing a little bit louder for her birthday. But I discovered this, which is thoroughly enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
So she is ranked the second most oldest person in the world.
Yeah.
The world. Like, she's the world leader at being old, just
well,
about.
Well, she's second.
Yeah.
She's got the silver medal.
She's ranked second, according to the Gerontology Research Group's World Supercentenarian Ranking List.
Do you reckon she's had 117 years on this earth? Do you reckon she knows how to say that word?
She's had more practice than me, that's for sure.
Mm.
So a list of people believed to be over 110 years of age. Sister Andre appears under her birth name, Lucille Randon, and she is the oldest known individual in Europe.
So hang on, so she's 107, oh no, turning 117, so 116.
Correct.
Gotcha.
She follows behind the world's oldest person, Japanese woman Kane Tanaka, who turned 118 years of age on January 2nd.
Do you reckon, like, if I was the oldest person in the world, I would spend 100% of my day just writing to everyone else or just going up to everyone else and saying, ha, I beat you.
So she's survived the influenza pandemic of 1918, both world wars, and now COVID-19 as well.
Wow.
Ew. Get some of that DNA.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So, yeah, I don't think you're never going to look that flash, really, are you, at that age?
Well, I mean...
For 117, she's actually pretty sprightly, to be honest.
Don't get me wrong, 117. Yeah. If I lived to be 117, I would probably not bother doing my hair in the morning.
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm over this looking good.
Like, people were freaking out, what was it, yesterday, because they found a bottle in the ocean that had been put there in 1978, and everyone was like, oh, a relic from 1978.
Mm.
Meanwhile, you've got Sister Andre here, who's been...
He was like, come on, please.
I remember putting that there.
I remember putting that there on my 90th birthday.
I misplaced my drink bottle that day.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And hey, Simo, you kind of touched on it just before, but it has been a very good 48 hours for message-in-a-bottle enthusiasts.
Yeah, it has. I saw something pop up about people getting excited about this.
In the last, like, day or two, there's been two separate messages in bottles found with a combined age of, like, how long they were spent bobbing around in the ocean of like 102 years if you plus them two together.
It's still short on old Sister Andre.
Yeah, Sister Andre's still like, ha, 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 sucked in.
I'm still more of a relic.
Well, one of the messages in a bottle was found in an Australian beach in WA.
Western Australia. I saw this, yeah.
It had been bobbing around in the ocean for 42 years.
Nice.
I've got the message that it was... Because it always interests me, because like this message was written on April 3rd, 1979, by someone who just signed their name as I. Cassidy.
Okay, does it say things like, turn east at the dawn and X marks the spot to my buried... Okay.
No.
Damn it.
It says, if this is found 4 or more years after it was sent, a reward will be offered. Contact the address on the other side. If it is found less than this, 50 cents for each year, but please contact I. Cassidy.
Okay, interesting.
Now, conveniently, the address on the other side was damaged by water. After being in the ocean for that long.
Damn it.
So you can't go get the reward, which is very convenient.
What was it? How much?
Well, it doesn't say. Also, 50 cents for each year.
Yeah, how many years was it?
42. It's, what, $21.
Quick maths. There you go.
I like that you actually went to your computer calculator to do that.
Calculate it, yeah.
I was like, it's $21. Like, oh, yeah, there's going to be a reward. It's like $21. I'm like, something to be sniffed at, but I was hoping it would be a bit more.
$20, not bad.
Mm.
How, if someone found it before the time period, because was it 4 years?
Yeah, it was found 4 or more years. If this is found 4 or more years after, then there will be the reward. But if not, there's not.
Because if you find it, you just take it home and put it on a shelf, don't you? And then wait.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Right?
And then you can get your $2.
No, you wait.
Yeah, but how long would you be waiting for?
Well, as long as how much money you might be short on.
Well, if
that
it's
week.
50 cents a year, yeah, then exactly. it's you know, you're going to have to, if you wait 80 years, you'll go, yes, $40.
It's worth more than everything
I can
else.
Afford a meal for two at a nice restaurant.
It's worth more than whatever else is on your shelf at home.
Well, true.
Like
true.
Picture of your kids.
Oh, I got that artifact from ancient Egypt that's priceless. Yeah. Get rid of that.
Look at this. This one's gathering value as it sits there.
But Simo, this message in the bottle, the Australian one, was found 42 years later. As much as I hate to say, that has been beaten by the English.
Ah, typical.
Where another message in a bottle was found, this one dated 1961 it was written, so 60 years.
Righto.
I've got the message that this one reads.
Okay.
So this was written by an English guy.
Yeah.
Who starts off by saying, "Dear you Yanks."
Okay.
So I assume that he had intended for it to go to England. It didn't go to America.
I'm sensing this might be an angry letter.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
So he intended, I assume, for it to sail all the way to America. It didn't. It just got to another beach in England. So he says, D-U-Yanks. How's life across the... gee, that's a bad time to stumble, isn't it?
He didn't start it off with D-U.
No, he didn't start it off with D-U-Yanks for America. How's life across the pond? It's like, well, I mean, we're not... Where do we go after that? This was thrown from a beach in Blackpool, which is a place in England. Suppose I should say cheers for the help in the war. Roy Orbison is starting to kick off here and everything's seeming pretty groovy. I wonder what life is like on your side. Hope this message finds you well.
Dear.
No reward offered for that one, unfortunately.
Dear you Wanks, things are really kicking off here.
Yeah, kicking off is one way to describe it.
Ah, enjoyable. Roy Orbison. Now, there's a throwback.
Well, Simo, obviously the British message was 60 years old. The Aussie message was 42 years old.
Yep.
So sadly, it looks like the British have beaten us there. However,
yeah. I mean, if being old is a competition.
However, on a technicality,
yes.
The British message was intended for America and it got nowhere near. It got from England to another beach in England.
Yes.
The Australian message had no intended destination. So for all we know, the intended destination could have been WA.
Okay.
So I'm claiming that as a win for Australia and make sure you don't mess up when you say the word Yanks.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, and if you would like to address a letter to some Wanks, we're waiting on your messages.
Yes, please write attention Simo.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.